right, good evening, class. Well, I think this is going to be the final class for this school year. And I took my time to try to see exactly what we need to talk about, trying to sum everything up from the beginning to the end. But I think we're going to look at chapter 19 in your book. It's called Delegated Authority Must Sanctify Themselves. And that's, I think that's going to kind of sum up everything. And sanctifying yourself only means it's a separation. I used to hear apostles say all the time that ministry is a lonely life. I didn't quite understand them at the time. But as you grow and as you mature, you find out there has to be a certain separation that you have to make between yourself and the people, you know. And one thing apostle told us that I never forget, back in those days, it didn't resonate like it do now, you know, in my later years. He just said, Ronald, always keep an arm length from everybody. In other words, don't let anyone get too close to you. Because you may have to correct them, and they won't have the respect to receive the correction. And I understand that more now than I did then. But Jesus talked about in the 17th chapter of John, and we're just going to look at the 19th verse. He says, for their sakes, he said, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. Now, that carries a lot of weight. And we're going to talk about, along that line, about Jesus sanctifying himself, being the sinless Lamb of God, yet being perfect, yet being blameless, yet being all these things, yet he sanctified himself. A holy God, Jesus, had to sanctify. Well, he did it for our sake. That's what scripture talking about. He did it for their sake, for our sake. He sanctified himself. And so he did it for a reason. And most of it was for training purposes. Those 3.5 years for those disciples, for those apostles, was training ground for them. And Jesus was leaving them in a position to know how they ought to respond when he's gone, how to carry on the ministry when he's gone. Now, I'm going to read according to the book, because Brother Watchman, he does a great job with this lesson. And it make me look at a lot of things more closely, you know, and more profoundly. But as a minister of the gospel, and some of you are ministers of the gospel, and you don't really have to be a minister to sanctify yourself. We're talking about people that you meet every day. You have to set a high standard in ministry. Not proud, not arrogant, but a high standard of carrying yourself spiritually, that people can always know that when they get close to you, they're in the presence of Almighty God. You're carrying the presence. You're carrying the nature. You're carrying the power of God with you. And so there has to be a separation. And you're going to see as we go along here. I'm going to just go read according to the book of chapter 19, Delegated Authority Must Sanctify Themselves. You see, we have already seen that spiritual authority is based on spirituality. Now, I added this, all spiritual maturity. And we've been learning about spiritual maturity. Apostle been teaching from Ephesians 4:11 through 16. And he talk about spiritual maturity as the body of Christ is trained and matured. We the one to go out and manifest. You see it? So a spiritual authority is all about a spiritual maturity also. It's not something apportioned by men simply or nor simply appointed by God. Now, what did that mean? apportioned, I think I'm saying that word right, apportioned by God, by men. In other words, men cannot empower you with authority. It's not something that transferred by men. Then he goes on to say, nor simply appointed by God. Now, I got stuck on that for a little while until I began to think about it. Nor appointed by God. You mean God don't appoint authority? Yes, yes, he does, but that's not what he's saying in this statement. Authority is not only received just because it's appointed by God. No, it has something more to do with you. And that's what the next statement going to see. Authority not by men, nor is this only is appointed by God, but not only appointed by God. Why this next part? He said we need to remember that it is on the one hand based upon spirituality, and on the other hand based upon humble and obedient condition. And I added this. Of the man's heart before God. You see, there has to be a certain aspect of your character that has to be developed and matured before authority is appointed unto you. Has to be a certain consistency and of humbleness, knowing that your heart has been designed to be an authority. Your heart has been qualified, that's the better word, has been qualified to be an authority. You see, so it's not just men appointing you to be some great authority leader, or not even God appointing you. The reason God appoints you is because of the condition and the maturity of your heart. That qualifies you to be an authority. So it's kind of just, it helped me to see that, you know, that it doesn't just come with a title. That's the good way of saying it. Authority more than just a title. No, it's spiritual. Let me say it, put it like this. It's spiritual conditioning of the heart. And God has to see, God went through all of Jesse's sons. But God wasn't checking out their outward character. God was checking out the condition of their heart. And he had to pass through all of them to know. Samuel passed through all of them, but God didn't put a mark on any one of them. But David, as we've been studying the past few weeks, David had a heart conditioning. David spent time with God. David was the apple of God's eyes because his heart was so tender and his heart was so submitted to God. And then God knew that within David was the character of a king. Wow. Because he saw the heart. He said, man look on the outward appearance. That's how God chose authority. But God looks upon the heart. God chose his authority by looking upon the heart. So just because you're in some status position, just like David Jesse's son, some of his sons looked like they could be a great warrior and a great leader, and what a great king they should be because of his physique and because of his stature and because of the respect that the men gave him. But no, their heart had to be qualified also. And that's what we're looking at in this class today. Their heart had to be conditioned, an obedient condition before God. You see it? Now, we will now add one more point, which is that one who is to be in authority must be sanctified from the crowd. Now, that's what most people just like to blend in with the crowd. Most people like to everybody to I'm trying to put it where. They don't want to separate themselves. You see? And I find out you can't be lovey-dovey with everybody when it comes to authority. Although our Lord was sent by God, and he had, listen at this, he had uninterrupted communion with God, he still declared for their, this, you told me for the disciple. For this he declared, for their sake, I sanctify myself. Told me the disciples, for the disciples' sake, he sanctified himself. Now, I'm going to read that again. He had uninterrupted communion with God. Now, we're talking about never broke communion with God for one moment. Perfect in everything. Mind, his soul, his heart. I mean, perfect with God. But yet he said, I sanctify myself. But it wasn't for his sake. Because he needed not to sanctify himself for his sake, but it was for our sake, to show us. So Jesus lived a life of sanctification to show us how we must sanctify ourselves and had live a life of separation and had total communion with God. Now, what does it mean to sanctify himself? What does the Lord sanctify himself mean? It's a good question, ain't it, Claire? Well, the Lord sanctify himself. Now, look at some of these points. I separated all these points to 4 points here of Jesus sanctifying himself. And I tell you what, it did something to me. He said, the Lord sanctified himself means that for the sake of his disciples, the Lord refrained for our sake. We talk about, see, we're not in the Bible right now. For our sake, he sanctified himself. So he refrained from doing many things which were perfectly legitimate to him. You see it? You see it? Many things which were perfectly legitimate to him. He could have done it. But for their sake, he didn't do it. Now watch this now. Speaking many words which he might have lawfully spoken, which he could have, which he might have lawfully spoken. So he refrained himself from speaking many unnecessary words which were lawful. And he wouldn't have been out of order speaking many words. But he didn't. Now, number two, from maintaining many attitudes which he could have justifiably had in his character. You know, Jesus had many opportunities to express himself in so many ways. You see it? But he did, for our sake. From putting on many kinds of apparel, his clothing. He dressed a certain way. He could have dressed differently. He could have done differently because he was God. And who could stop him? But for our sake, he did not. And from taking many foods which would have been normal to him. But yet, all these were just four of the things. We could go on and look at some of the things he could have done, but he didn't. But for our sake, and what was Jesus doing? Jesus was setting a divine standard for leadership, of a divine standard for the apostle, to saying you got to come out from among them and be separate. You see it? And you have to know and understand there has to be a divine separation. You see it? Not, as we're going to find out, in mind, not being higher in mind, you see it? But in the communion and the positioning yourself with God. Being the Son of God who knew no sin, listen at this now, his freedom far exceeded any we have on earth. Being the Son of God who had no sin, his freedom far exceeded any we have on earth. Many things we cannot do because we have defects in us. Many words we cannot speak, for we are unclean people. What are you saying? That because we live in this, you know, dimensional world, and because of the imperfection of our ability to walk 100% in the spirit all the time, we can't permit our flesh to overtake our spirit. And sometimes Paul warned us, walk in the spirit, you should not fulfill the lust of the flesh, because he knew that our human side is vulnerable to emotions, invulnerable to different circumstances, and we're not guaranteed how we're going to respond to something. Somebody might pull out on you, you might just go to cussing. Well, did you plan to cuss? No, but somewhere down in your nature, it just come up. We use the word, it just slip out. It just slip on out. Well, you see, that's vulnerable. And so that's not that you don't have that perfected soul yet. Your soul has not been perfected yet. Even though you're trying to walk in spirit much you can, your soul has not been perfected. And so you have to be careful, you see, how not to respond to certain things when you can't be in the crowd and be just like the crowd. You can't just cuss like the rest of them. You can't answer situation like normal people, even though you want to. You can't judge like a lot of people want to, even though you seem like you got a right to. Sometimes you just got to be quiet. And sometimes you just don't say anything. And sometimes just not saying anything, you separate yourself like that. I'm trying to show you that we don't have what it takes to walk like Jesus in perfection. So it's a little harder for us to be sanctified than it was for Jesus to sanctify himself. It wasn't nothing for Jesus to sanctify himself because he was 100% God, 100% man. But for us, it's a challenge because we got this unrenewed mind we got to deal with on a daily basis. We don't know when that word is going to slip out on us and you're going to cuss. Are you with me? Now, so we have defects in us. In many words, we cannot speak, for we are unclean. Well, we're talking about unclean people. We're talking about our mind is not renewed to the point where we can walk in perfect holiness and perfect perfection. We still have this word flaws. You see it? We still have these infirmities, according to Romans 8:26. We have infirmities. And see, so because of the infirmities, we got to constantly working on sanctification. It's not a one-time situation. It's not a one-time endowment. Somebody laid a hand on you and I sanctify you, and now you separated for the rest of your life. No, you got to work on this every minute, every second, every hour, every moment of the day to sanctify yourself. And it comes with the position. It comes with being who God called you to be. All right? Now, I hope I'm explaining myself a little bit clear. But there was no such difficulty in the life of our Lord, since he is most holy. We need to humble ourselves. Jesus didn't need to humble himself, but he did for our sake. For our nature is full of pride. See, it comes with the fallen man. But our Lord was never proud. Hence, he did not need to humility, but he did it for us. Yep. Moreover, we need patience. Oh, Lord, do we need patience. If you don't need patience, if you got all the patience you need, then you done went to heaven. All right? We do need patience. But Jesus was never impatient, so he had no need of patience. Are you with me? It was just built. Jesus didn't need no patience because he is patient. He is humility. All those things that we need, Jesus is. And so that's why we strive to become like him. And that's why we have to have him in us to be able to function as children of God. We have to have his nature in us. All right? Now, he did not need to be restrained in many things since he was absolutely sinless. And we got to be restrained. How many words you got to restrain from coming out of your mouth sometimes? How many times you have to stop your mind from thinking the wrong thoughts? See, Jesus didn't have to restrain himself, you know, none of those ways. How many times as husband and wife, you know, you got to catch yourself, you know, from saying those things, to one another, you know, and you got to strain yourself to keep peace. And you want to practice that so when you go out in the world as husband and wife, you don't want to be false. You don't want to put on shows. Sometimes people put on shows, husband and wife. At home, they barking dogs, they fighting tigers. But when they get out in the street, they got to put on this camouflage relationship. You see, no. As ministers and as children of God, we got to practice these things at home, how to be loving and caring and fix all our flaws and work on all of our shortcomings and work on all of our misunderstanding and perfect our marriages and relationship at home. So when we do come out among the children of God, there's no front. There's no falsifying a relationship. One thing about a pastor, I've been a pastor in the presence of his home, and I've been with him in the presence of ministry life. And far as I know, he's got the same relationship at home that he got when you, what you see is what you get. I'm not saying, you know, that he's perfect, because nobody perfect like Jesus, but I tell you what, he sure is an example for me. You know, and that's why my marriage has become strong as it is, because I see strength in their marriage. Mrs. Carolyn and Apostle Thompson have a wonderful, strong marriage relationship. And you can sense it when it comes out in the public. And you can sense it when it's in the public, because it's in the private also. And that's what I'm trying to get at you. Those things have to be perfected at home before it can become real on the outside, and so that's why sanctification is important. It has so much to do with your lifestyle at home and abroad, so we can be an example to the body of Christ. And it's so important, Claire. It's so important, Claire. We don't want to be fronts. We don't want to be counterfeiters. No, we want to be the real deal. We want to be able to say what you see is what you get. What you see me here is what you see me at home. You see, it starts at the house. And you can't win the world and then your whole family is going to pot. See, I've been around a pastor for a while, and I've been around his children since they were little. And I tell you what, you're talking about an awesome family. You're talking about respect they have for their parents. And I tell you what, you can see them shift. When they're home, it might be dad and mom, but when they hear Apostle and Mrs. Carolyn, I hear it coming out of their mouth, Mrs. Carolyn and Apostle, because they sanctify themselves for us. So we may know how we might handle ourselves. They've been examples for us, for the body of Christ. And so, in marriage and in ministry, and in family, you see it. I'm telling you, class. You know, I didn't know I was going this route, but what you see is the real deal. I'm talking about over 40 years of being around them, 42 years, going on 43 years this year of being around them, and I've seen the real deal for all those years, and it never changed one bit. Never changed one bit. You know, never changed one bit. I told the story before. When I first came to the church, my brother, he's going home to be with the Lord now. He brought me to the old Mount Zion church. I'm sitting on the pew, and I come from a family of ministers, uncles were ministers, and even one of my grandfathers on my mother's side was a pastor. I didn't know all these things until because they all had died and gone home and be with the Lord. But I saw so many things. I saw some things that turned me off about church and ministry and pastors and preachers. You know, I saw, you know, this one doing this one doing that. And so I thought all preachers had an outside wife. And so when my brother brought me here to Mount Zion, I'm sitting in the pew. And then Apostle, well, he was way back then, you know. He was Reverend Thompson way back then, teaching a Bible class on a Wednesday night. And he stopped teaching. And I think he did it just for me, for my sake. God do things just for your sake. You see, he said, he stopped. He said, it wasn't even pertaining to the lesson. He said, I got one girlfriend and one wife. They're both the same person. I said, a man can't be telling the truth. I said, all them preachers got a woman. And it kept coming. And I kept coming. And it kept coming. And 43 years later, he's the same man. Got one girlfriend, one wife, they're both Miss Callie. And you know, that changed, that did stuff. That's sanctifying yourself, Glad. If nothing else, that's the real deal. That's what they call sanctification. You see, set himself apart, not for our sake. You see, he said just yesterday, he said, God had to give me the right wife. He said, when I married, I was broke. My older brother gave me $100, and he thought he had hung the moon. But you see, God knew his character. Man look on the outward appearance, but God look upon the heart. Oh, that was a good place to throw that in, Claire. Now, with regard to the matter of holiness, the Lord had not only his own holiness in view, but ours as well. You see, he did it not for his holiness, so he can demonstrate that we can have a holiness. That we can walk in a holiness that goes beyond and goes above the standards. You see, that's a holiness that's above standard. And that's what people are looking for. People don't look. People are watching you to see if you're real, see if you're consistent. They're watching your lifestyle. And don't tell me they're not. One man walked up to me, he said, man, you don't know, but I've been watching you for years, you and your wife. I didn't know that. But I tell you what, I said, I hope I was doing the right thing. He said, you were. He said, you made an impression on my life. I said, thank you, sir. Well, little did I know that people are watching you. Little do you know, people are watching you. Not so much to make a mistake. My God, they hope you don't fall. Because they need somebody to follow after. They need some examples in this life. They need to see a holy man, a holy woman. They need somebody to live. I'm not talking without flaws and without mistakes. I'm talking about somebody that's real. You say something wrong to them, you come back to me like, I didn't handle you right. I'm sorry. Ma'am, I didn't handle it. Ma'am, I didn't do that right. Ma'am, forgive me. Can you forgive me? And that's what they're looking for. Holiness and righteousness. In the sight of God and men. All right? Now, I'm understanding this thing, class. You grow and mature a little bit, you understand these things more and more. Whatever holiness we have causes us to be sanctified from the world. You see it? So your standard of holiness, you know, is increased as you grow. But it has something to do with representing this world system. People are looking. People are looking. I remember another little story here. Now, back in the time when I was coming up, you know, what they did was they had these. I'm not going to ever get close to finishing class. They just have mercy upon me and just let me get out what I can get out. But back in the day, you know, they had what they call revivals. And these revivals was to gang up all the sinners. Everybody tried to make the sinners come to church. So, and we'll pray and have these prayer meetings for revival to get the sinners to get born again. And then hopefully they'll have a baptism. They'll baptize some soul. But and the deacon was the one that kind of ran most of these revivals. Well, what hindered me was I would go to the ballroom, and then the head deacon was sitting in the same bar stool row that I was. And I would look at him. But when revival came, he's up there praying for me. I said, oh, no, you can't. How are you going to pray for me when he's sitting on at the same bar on one of the stools that I'm sitting on, and he's going to tell me about Jesus? I say, ain't no way. So I became Catholic. Me and my wife, we married Catholic. I grew up in the Baptist circle. You see, my mom was Baptist, my dad was Catholic, and so we went to Sunday school, whether we wanted to or not. But as you grow older, you know, you got a little freedom to make some choices for yourself. So for a little while, I wasn't nothing. I was just running foot loose and fancy free, you know, but still looking. I know there's a God because it's been imparted in me there was a God, and I feared God. But I look at religion, I look at people around me, and I saw things that didn't fit. So I became Catholic. I said, I'm going to be Catholic so I can sin legally. Now, they got good Christian Catholics. But I'm just saying, because, sin legally, I mean, the priest would be right there. You know, shoot, he'd be drinking and smoking cigarette right there with you. And you know, you didn't feel out of place. And so I said, I won't sin legally. And so I became a Catholic. And until I got born again. And I became born again, and I knew that it had to be another standard of living. Another level of righteousness, another level of holiness, another place that I can go and that I know that I'm born again without any doubt. People need to know there's a separation. They need to know that the righteousness from the unrighteousness. Need to know the sanctified from the unsanctified. I'm not talking about holier than thou, Claire, but your standard of living should be above reproach. Men can look at you and say, surely that's a man of God. Surely that's a woman of God. You see, there had to be a sanctification class. All right, let me see, can I get a couple more things? I got a few more minutes left. But class, you've been a good class. Thank you for listening to me this year. Now, the Lord has not only his own holiness in view, but ours as well. Whatever holiness we have causes us to be sanctified from the world. Consequently, there are many things we cannot do. When I use the word cannot do, you don't want to do. Because you could do anything. You see it? You could do anything you want. You see it? I told a man one time, you know, and he was talking about Christianity and criticizing Christians, you know. And he liked his little drink. He liked a little highball. He liked his little alcohol beverages. And sometimes they don't want to give that up and feel like they're missing something. And I said, look, let me tell you something. I said, you see what you're doing? I said, I can drink all I want to drink, but I don't want to drink. See, I can do a lot of things, but I don't want to do it. I said, man, when Jesus came in, a lot of things I just didn't want to do no more. You see, not that I didn't have the liberty to do it, but I don't want to do it. There's a holy thing on the inside, a holy person on the inside of me that has sanctified me and set me apart. Are you with me, class? All right, I'm going to go on. For our sake, Jesus accepted the restriction which come from men. Since he speaks and acts according to his holiness, whereas men always speak or judge according to their sin, he was willing to accept restraint lest he be misunderstood by the sinful thoughts of men. You see? Now, so a lot of time we've got to restrain ourselves from doing things You know, one of my brothers, my brother, let me give you this example. My brother, Donald, Apostle saved him when Apostle worked in the chemical plant. He used to work alongside Apostle, or work in the same plant with Apostle, and he got born again under Apostle's ministry. And then he kind of tutored me, my brother. You know, after I got born again, he tutored me because he was a minister. And he said, Ronald, he said, that was before we had cell phone. He used to call his wife on the phone sometime. But he said, I got to a place where I couldn't use the pay phones no more. Because I didn't want people to think I was talking to some woman on the pay phone. So I stopped. Why he did that? Because of sometimes people think sinful, their thoughts are sinful. And he didn't want to say, I don't want to do anything that appeared to be evil. I want to avoid all appearance of evil. And that's what he's saying. That's what Apostle Paul was saying. And that's what he's saying right here. Sometimes you got to avoid appearance of evil, even though these things are not wrong to talk on the payphone. But for the thoughts of men and to keep the standards of righteousness and holiness, you know, before men so they don't judge you wrongly. He said, I will not talk on the payphone again. Because to protect men's mind and try to judge you wrongly because of these things. Oh, you see what I'm saying, class? You see what I'm saying, class? And that has to do with sanctifying yourself. It's another level. Sometimes people don't think that far. But God do want to sanctify ourselves in every way. All right? Even though you can do it. Even though it's legal to do it. Even though it's right to talk on a payphone. You see it? But you sanctify for their sake. Now, for the sake of God's authority, I think I'm going to close right here. For the sake of God's authority, he restrained from doing many things in order to manifest his separation from the world. This is what meant by the Lord sanctifying himself. Class, that's as far as I have to go. You've been a good class. It's been a good season. It's been a good year. And I hope you learned something from this spiritual authority class. And I hope you can implement some of these things in your life. And matter of fact, I try to practice a lot of these things because it make me to be a better person and a better, how would I say that, class? Asset. To Apostle. So God bless you, and I'll see you soon.